Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Welcome to the very first podcast and reality check of 2024, which promises to be one of the most interesting years economically, politically, and market-wise in history, in my opinion. We have two significant global conflicts slash wars ongoing right now, just as President Xi of China is reiterating his promise to annex Taiwan, and Kim Jong-un of North Korea threatens to wipe the United States off of the map. Wow. Looks like Little Rocket Man is back. Meanwhile, we have the most likely Republican candidate and former president getting thrown off state ballots under the disgusting guise of trying to preserve democracy. I mean, the U.S. is sadly in the process of becoming a banana republic, and the evidence is all around, if you care to look at it. Wars and revolutions are not a tail risk any longer. They're happening now and likely to metastasize in 2024. With this backdrop, we have the most expensive stock market in history prior to 2020. The price to sales ratio is 2.62 on the S&P 500, and the total market cap of equities is 176% of GDP. Both of those most valuable metrics are at record highs and dwarf, or very near record highs, I should say. Prior to 2020, they were record highs and dwarf the historical averages prior to the pandemic. And the equity risk premium is zero, meaning the earnings yield of stocks is less than the yield offered from simply owning a risk-free T-bill. In other words, investors are not getting compensated at all for the extra risk of owning stocks over bonds. So you have to know what stocks to own, not just blindly buy the S&P 500 in Pavlovian fashion, as what Wall Street and the mainstream financial media would like you to do always. We think earnings growth this year will be in the low single digits at best if we avoid a deep recession. However, Wall Street gurus have penned etched in stone, S&P 500 earnings growth of nearly 12% this year. But even if that growth is somehow incredibly achieved, the market has already priced in that hype and hope. The forward 12-month P/E ratio for the S&P 500 is 19.3. This P/E ratio is above the 5-year average of 18.8 and above the 10-year average of 17.6, far above it, according to FactSet. Therefore, economic growth must absolutely soar in 2024 to justify these valuation metrics, or the Fed must be in the process of slashing borrowing costs back to ZIRP and going back into QE. But the latter scenario would only occur if the Fed was reacting to an economy that was falling apart, which cannot be good news for stocks. Yet, even in the former scenario, where growth is, exploding higher, the Fed's not going to be cutting rates at all. Nevertheless, there are 3 rate cuts indicated by the Fed's dot plot, and there are 6 cuts that are being priced into the Fed funds futures market. Therefore, even in the highly unlikely scenario of exploding GDP growth this year, it would entail rising rates instead of rate cuts, which would provide somewhat of a headwind for stocks. The overhanging problem here, the overlying issue, is that the Treasury must find a buyer for $7 trillion of government debt this year alone. That has to be issued. $5 trillion must be rolled over, and $2 trillion will be needed to fund the annual deficit. This will put tremendous pressure on the bond market, no matter what. The month of March will be a very key time for markets. The reverse repo facility should get run down to a couple of hundred billion, the bare minimum needed at the end of Q1 or at the very latest, the start of Q2, that easy liquidity for the already illiquid bond market is going to disappear. And March is also the month when the bank term funding program is scheduled to expire. This program entails the process of the Fed selling, the end of this program, will entail the process of selling $133 billion worth of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities that are underwater, sharply in some cases, back to the banks. And in exchange for that, the banks have to pay the Fed back 100 cents on the dollar plus interest. Powell needs to stop this program to stop the rampant speculation on Wall Street and to ensure inflation retreats towards its 2% target. But doing so will wreak havoc on the regional banking system. His decision is critical for the direction of markets. The recession penciled in last year did not materialize because of the massive fiscal spending and the bailout of the entire regional banking system, aka the Bank Term Funding Program, which I just spoke about. However, the conditions for engendering a recession have not been resolved. They have been exacerbated. The underlying conditions have gotten worse. Regardless of the soft landing mantra prevalent in the mainstream financial media. I mean, it's so ridiculous. They are screaming how wonderful and pervading this lie about how wonderful the economy and markets are, while the ISM Manufacturing Survey produced today, Institute of Supply Management's Manufacturing Survey, renounced today, showed that 14 straight months of contraction in this key sector of the economy. In reality, the economy is more fragile today than ever. We have the longest and steepest yield curve inversion in 43 years. That just continues to signal a sharp recession, not just a recession. And it is continuing to pressure bank earnings and lending practices. The index of leading economic indicators confirms that a recession is still in the cards. So does the National Federation of Independent Business Survey. Delinquencies and bankruptcies on the personal and corporate level are surging, and that is pressuring consumption. The refinancing of consumer and business debt at much higher interest rates is something that's inexorably marching on. It continues on. Banks continue to curtail commercial and industrial loans. And the Fed is burning the base money supply by about $95 billion each month. That's their goal. This does not guarantee a severe recession, but it does virtually guarantee that a booming economy is not in the bag, as some claim. And that means investors should not blindly own the S&P 500 and trust in a bull market that never ends. I very well understand, I completely get it, that people are saying that the Fed and Treasury will indeed seek to bail out every single hiccup in the market and the economy. I mean, however, this is old news. First of all, the government rode to the rescue in the tech bubble recession and the turn of the millennia during the global financial crisis and real estate crash of 2008. They came to the rescue, but neither ZIRP or QE or TARP or any of the alphabet soup bailout programs served to stop the 50% plus debacle in markets. Just look what happened yesterday in Israel. The Central Bank of Israel cut rates for the first time since 2020 to ameliorate the stress derived from the current battle with Hamas. However, the Tel Aviv stock market dropped 1.3% on that news. These inflationary bailouts do tend to paper over the issues eventually, but not immediately. And of course, they result in more problems that turn out to be much more dire and intractable in nature. In the vanguard of these problems is another round of asset bubbles being generated, even more debt being incurred, and the condition of out-of-control inflation, which further eviscerates whatever is left of the middle class of this once great country. In sharp contrast to recent history, if the Fed and Treasury were to try and truncate the recession, debt default, and reconciliation of asset prices by another round of money printing and spending this time around, They will be doing so with the sting of record high, in reality, record high inflation, fresh in the minds of consumers and businesses and investors. Therefore, the confidence in the world's reserve status of the U.S. dollar and the U.S. bond market could be obliterated. Meaning, what we could very well may see is a condition where the economy enters a recession, but long-term bond yields go up instead of down, as is usually the case. Such an unprecedented and dangerous combination of higher borrowing costs in a faltering economy would result in carnage for stock valuations. The nearly infallible indicators of recession that I monitor in my IDEC model, the Inflation, Deflation, and Economic Cycle model, are flashing red. It is only a question of timing. We will use the model to ensure we sprint for the narrow exit door with time to spare. For now, the high-frequency components of the model are flashing green. They continue to do so. Incredibly so, I may add. Credit spreads and financial conditions remain quiescent. Therefore, we remain net long. You know, it seems everybody now has a liquidity, economic, and stock market model. We've had a fully functional model for almost a decade. I built it to let me know how to best participate during bull markets, while also having a proven track record of being able to protect your wealth during bear markets. My prediction for 2024, be prepared for everything.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.